The fifth reading is from the second chapter of Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is this child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay homage." When King Herod heard of this, he was frightened, and all of Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chiefs, priests, and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet. And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod secretly called the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I can also go and pay homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there, ahead of them, went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw that star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
We travel. want to come forward for a children's sermon.
Oh, good.
How are you two doing tonight? How are the rest of you? Come on forward. You can sit here, you can sit there. Hi. How are you all doing?
Good.
Glad to hear it. Have your parents ever told you stories about when you were born? Are there any that you want to repeat?
No.
Kind of. Oh, I want to hear the kind of.
One time I put my head in the toilet.
Okay. I've had dogs and cats do that, but never one of my kids. I did have one of my daughters who decided that she wanted to put her head through the railing. Uh-huh. Yeah, you know what happened next. Now, I remember when one of my children was born, how I looked at her and I thought, I'm so glad they told me what newborns look like. Because if she were only green, I'd say she was Yoda. She would grow up to be very cute. She was not cute as a newborn. She really wasn't. My other one, though, was very cute. Now she has purple hair. Or is it pink? Anyway, tonight we hear lots of stories about Jesus and his birth, right? His birth was a little bit unusual. I don't know about you, but I know, well, my mother always said I was angelic, but I still don't think that angels proclaimed my birth. How about yours?
No.
And somehow I don't think that there were all that many people, especially strangers, rushing in when I was born. Family members, yeah. But did you have strange people come in when you were born? No shepherds?
Doctors.
Doctors. Yeah. They were strangers to you. I know you hadn't met them before. But for me, with my second daughter, the people who rushed in were people I hadn't seen before. They didn't seem to believe that I was actually having this baby now. And when they realized it was happening now, everyone showed up. But still, I think they were all medical personnel, though by that time I don't think I cared. But you probably didn't have shepherds and all coming to your birth, did you? Is that right? Am I accurate on that? Yeah, and you know, usually before you're born, they have a big shower for your mom, and they usually... What are the usual gifts you give? You know, diapers and little tiny clothes. Did any of them get gold? A baby carriage, yeah. Did any of them get gold?
No.
Did they wish that if you knew how much children cost, you would have wanted the gold, right? Frankincense? Mm-hmm. I mean, who brings frankincense? And myrrh? We heard about myrrh is mine, this bitter perfume and all this death stuff, because it's what you put on bodies. It's kind of strange presence. Because this is a very different birth of a very different baby, right?
It's a king.
He's a king. And that's why the Magi went where?
Bethlehem?
No, where'd they go first? Where do you look for a king?
Where other kings are.
Where other kings are, that's exactly right. You look for them in a castle, in a palace. You don't look for kings in mangers, do you?
No.
Just like you, when you were born, your parents, how many of you have ranches and farms and such? Did any of you put your child in a manger? I didn't either. I left that for the horse and goats, but no, I didn't. Yeah, this is an unusual child, and the circumstances of his birth are unusual. The tail of a star, too, lighting up. Any of that happened when you were born? Didn't happen for me either. This is an unusual birth of an unusual child. A king, born in a place where you wouldn't expect a king. Gifts that you don't expect to give to people who are poor. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, strange gifts. for a different sort of child. Because this birth is not like any other birth that's ever happened. It is the birth of God come to earth. And that's what we celebrate. The idea that God came to earth and became one of us in the form of Jesus. An unusual birth, but a wonderful birth. So let us pray. Thank you, God, for this unusual birth, these unusual circumstances, this unusual child. We just thank you, Lord, for his coming. We thank you for all that it means for us. And just help us to remember that that is the great gift of Christmas. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much.
O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Picture the scene of that first Christmas. A young woman, Mary, exhausted from giving birth, gazing in wonder at her newborn son. Nearby is Joseph, relieved that his beloved has finally delivered her child. For it is her child, not his. Though he will protect and nurture and teach this child as though he were his own. And the child, looking like any ordinary child, a son, a healthy, perfect son. And this place, not their home in Nazareth, where Mary could have had the assistance of her mother and other relatives when her time came to deliver her child. Not Nazareth, but the city of David, Bethlehem. When the angel Gabriel spoke to her 9 months ago, she had not imagined having to travel while in the last stages of pregnancy to give birth so far from home. The usually quiet town of Bethlehem has been bustling with activity due to the census. All the usual places travelers could find refuge were full. And here, in this place, with the warmth of animals nearby, where the little family could have a little bit of privacy, Mary has given birth to her child. Mary has taken the strips of cloth that she brought from home, traditionally used to wrap infants so that their limbs would grow straight. The child came into the world with a hearty cry, but after being swaddled and fed, has fallen asleep. Who is this child? The angel Gabriel told Mary that she would bear a son whom she would name Jesus. He told her, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." When she visited her relative Elizabeth in the Judean hill country, Elizabeth's child leaped at Mary's greeting, causing Elizabeth to exclaim, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me?" Son of the Most High, Son of David, King forever, Lord of lords. When Joseph learned of the pregnancy, he decided to divorce Mary quietly, not wanting to subject her to public disgrace or worse, the stoning that might be inflicted on one guilty of adultery. But an angel spoke to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is to fulfill the prophecy of Isaiah of the coming of Emmanuel, God with us. Joseph did as the angel told him to do. Son of God, Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel. What privacy they may have had is soon shattered by the arrival of shepherds who tell them with amazement what they have seen, what they have heard. The voice of an angel saying, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord." And then there appeared a multitude of the heavenly host, a vast angel army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." Savior, Messiah, Lord, peace. The child has come to fulfill the word spoken in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. "For a child has been born to us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." In a Christmas sermon in 1521, Martin Luther preached, "The gospel teaches us Christ was born and that he died and suffered on our behalf, as is here declared by the angel. In these words, you clearly see that he is born for us. He does not simply say Christ is born, but to you he is born. Neither does he say, 'I bring glad tidings,' but to you I bring glad tidings of great joy. Furthermore, this joy was not to remain in Christ, but it shall be to all the people. For this purpose, Christ willed to be born, that through him we might be born anew. Oh, this is a great joy of which the angel speaks. This is a comfort of exceeding goodness of God, that if anyone believes this, he can boast of the treasure that Mary is his rightful mother, Christ his brother, and God his father. For these things actually occurred and are true, but we must believe. This is the principal thing and the principal treasure in every gospel. Christ must, above all things, become our own, and we become his. This is what is meant by Isaiah, 'Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given.' To us is born, and to us is given this child." And Luther continued, "The gospel does not merely teach about the history of Christ. No, it enables all who believe it to receive it as their own, which is the way the gospel operates. Of what benefit would it be to me if Christ had been born 1,000 times and it would be daily sung into my ears in a most lovely manner, if I were never to hear that he was born for me and was to be my very own? Son of God, Son of Mary, born for us to be our own." Sometime later, wise men of the East leave their homes to follow a star that they know will take them to the King of the Jews. They had originally traveled to Jerusalem, even though the star led on. After all, would you not expect a king to be born in a palace? And where would you find the palace of the King of the Jews except in Jerusalem? And there they learn of the prophecy that the Messiah must be born where? In Bethlehem. Herod tells them to return after they find the child so that he can worship him also. They leave the palace and follow the star about 7 miles until they arrive at the place where the child is. They kneel before him and pay him the homage due a king, presenting him with costly gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Warned in a dream about Herod's treachery, they do not return to Jerusalem but go home by a different route. Herod, enraged, decides to destroy this apparent political rival by ordering the death of all the children in and near Bethlehem who are under 2 years of age. Joseph is told in a dream to take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt until it is safe for them to return. They travel to Egypt, the place where their ancestors were in bondage until God, through Moses, obtained their release. Messiah, King, the one worthy of worship. Rival. Refugee. What child is this? Son of Mary? Son of David? Son of God? The one who will be spoken of in whispers as the supposed son of Joseph. A king who reigns forever. God with us. The one spoken of by the prophets and the angels. The one adored by shepherds in nearby fields and wise men who come from afar. The king born not in a palace, but in a manger. Not in Mary's hometown of Nazareth, but in Bethlehem, the city of David. The one born to free us from the bondage of sin because we cannot free ourselves. What child is this? Son of Mary, Son of the Most High, Son of David, King forever, Lord of Lords, Son of God, Jesus, Savior, Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. In the birth of this child, we see the radical work of God as heaven and earth touch. God takes on flesh, becoming incarnate, and makes a dwelling with us. It is God showing up to disrupt the status quo, showing up in the midst of a chaotic, broken world, showing up in the vulnerability of humanity, in the helplessness of an infant, in the ordinariness and miracle of birth. This is the one spoken of by prophets and angels and shepherds, the one born for you and for me, the Savior, the Lord. What child is this? This is Christ the King, this baby, the son of Mary. Amen.